Hello, it feels so good to be back. I am Selena Justine, and welcome to my new show, Blissfully Ever After, A Gal's Guide to Life, aka GGTL. In this podcast, you and I are going to navigate the exciting transition into the next chapter of our lives. From faith to marriage to babies, we are going to cover it all. Together, we're going to toast to this next chapter. So cheers to today's dose of inspiration. Hey guys, okay, so I'm hopping on here real fast just to give a little pre-intro to the intro. So, okay, let me gather my thoughts. So the reason I wanted to hop on here really quickly is to just say to hang in there with this episode. It's a very powerful conversation and episode here with Kelly, and I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to encourage you, there is going to be, and Kelly does say this in the episode, that she's going to give context, because we know how important context is, especially with our own personal stories and experiences. So the information shared here today is merely, again, to give context of all that Kelly has gone through and been through, which is where what has led her to where she is today with the Lord. And so there may be some topics or, you know, some things that she shares that do seem spiritually heavy, and so I'm aware of that. So that's why I want to hop on here, just to encourage you, just to trust that this episode is godly. This episode is about a powerful, holy testimony, and to not let that heaviness deter you from this episode. There is so much power here. And so just continue to push on through that. And Kelly is such a wonderful storyteller. I don't think you're going to want to stop listening anyway. But I just wanted to give that heads up. And that is all. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
So I'm just going to be real. I thought we were recording and we weren't. So now I just feel so phony, like coming on here and be like, hey, as if we hadn't just been talking for 20 freaking minutes. So, okay. Anyway. Well, Kelly, thank you for being here, and I will give another introduction, and I just want to share how we met, and it was through our mutual friend, Rachel, and you just came over to our apartment one day, and she had been talking so highly of you for weeks, you know, coming up to that, how you guys met and everything, and so that's how you and I originally met, and I remember it was probably like a few times after hanging out, you had shared your testimony. And there was just something, it just was beyond powerful. And also because it really touched me in a way that I felt it was very relatable, because I had gone through pretty similar things, not full throttle, but the Lord had just been saving me from similar things. And you listening will understand what I'm talking about in a minute. And I just felt like, oh, I'm not alone. Like it felt so comfortable and familiar in a good way, in the best way. And so that's when I thought, I need to have this girl on my podcast. She needs to share her story with other women listening. And so here we are today, which is so cool. And yeah, so before we start, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. And if you'd like to lead that, I'd be honored.
Yeah, 100%. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lord, for this moment with my sister, Selena. Father, we just pray anointing over the airwaves.
Amen.
And just pray for anointing over each person that's listening or watching, that God let your Holy Spirit manifest in this meeting today. And I just pray, Father, that every word that's spoken is just ordained by you, and that your glory be shown through all of this. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes. So as I was saying was, in other interviews, I always have an outline just to kind of go to. So I have, you know, just talking points just so I don't forget what's, you know, what I want to bring up. And so what I was sharing with you, Kelly, is this is my first time just going for it, because like I said, your story is so powerful on its own. I don't want it to be, you know, in a box of like, okay, we're going to talk about this and then this and that's it. Like, I want this to be so Holy Spirit led, and just we'll hear your story, and then wherever we feel like it goes, like that's where it'll go. So
cool.
If you just want to go ahead and start, I'll give you the mic and just go ahead and share your testimony.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So I like to give context in what I talk about. And I was really asking the Lord to help lead me in sharing this so that I'm not, you know, sharing too much, or because sometimes I get too deep. But yeah. But we are going to get deep today in certain things, especially when it comes to the word and when it comes to what the enemy is telling so many young women and men today, especially in our generation, that we're just seeing it really grow more and more and even becoming empires in certain places. So I want to start out with my mom. My mother grew up Catholic in Brazil. But she was what majority of Brazilians in Brazil that were Catholic, they also mixed in what's called Macumba, or they also would mix into New Age. And my grandmother would actually read tarot cards, and she would do a lot of just these fortune telling things. Her and her girlfriends would get together, and instead of, you know, like drinking coffee, like regular women, they would get together and have their cards and their little and stuff like that. And they would be reading fortunes to each other. My mother wasn't, she kind of saw it, but she wasn't really deep into that. She, as a kid, like she saw it, but no one taught her about it. Like no one taught her and told her what each card meant. And my grandmother actually did not want her to touch tarot cards until she was older. But at the age of 12 years old, my mother grabbed a deck of her cards and my mom's friend was over and she just sat there and she just laid out the cards and she was able to interpret these tarot cards to a T. Something that no one taught her, but she knew. And I bring this up because it's all going to come together.
Of course, of course.
Money.
Yeah.
But so she was laying it out and she started doing this at her school where the girls would come and she started fortune telling. And as she was growing older, of course, that grew more curiosity to what is called like Macumba, and which is it's a practice where they mix Catholicism and voodoo together, where they will call saints to come and overtake them. When we all know that they're not actually saints. There is one God and they believe in multiple gods. And my mother was really into that for quite some time in her life. Then around the 90s, 2000s, after she had my brother and I and moved to America, she then found Jesus. She had an encounter with Jesus and she repented for that past and she moved a new life. Had a new life. But I will say all those things she was involved really did bring a lot of destruction to her and her family. Divorce, fights, resentment, and even just complete separation. And it is very sad, but I do look at it now and I see how the enemy portrayed a lot in our my family line. And it was bringing up a generational thing. So me, when I was a child, I was really big into anything that had to do with magic, anything that had to do with anything spiritual, because at a very young age, just like my mother, I was drawn to it. And I had a very ease, what some would say, a gift. I would walk into a room and I could sense if there was a spirit or something in there. I was very sensitive to it at a very young age. So of course, anything that had to do with spiritualism, anything that had to do with magic, I was focused on it. I never knew about my mother's past. And this is where now I look back and I see how the enemy played the same trick. So that same spirit of witchcraft was in my grandmother. And I don't know about my great-grandmother. I don't really know if But I know my great-grandfather, it was. He was in a tribe called Kayoko in Amazon, which they're very involved in that stuff. From my grandmother to my mother and then to me. And I never knew about my mother's relation with witchcraft. She never taught me it. She never told me about it. Like I said, she found Jesus in the 90s, 2000s. So I was never really told about witchcraft. So growing up, I had this drawing for witchcraft, and I remember just going through a hardship of not understanding my identity and not understanding where I fit in. But spiritualism was kind of where I did fit in. Mm. I felt like I did. And as I was getting older, I was maybe like 13, 14 years old is when I really started getting into spell work. It's when I started learning about what spell work is. And spell work is pretty much where they will have, you either will chant a saying that is already written out, or you'll chant a saying from your heart in full belief that that's going to happen. So some would even call it manifesting today. But back then, when I was young, it was very clear it was spell work, because you're trying to speak something in existence to come to get things your way and how you want it. But there was also times where you would also add in herbs and other things to get something from whatever God, you know, I believed in at the time. Was I believe that there was God, mm-hmm. but I also believe there was multiple different gods that handled different aspects of the world. Mm-hmm. So water, air, dirt, you know, what else? Another one dealt with love or dealt with emotions. I mean, there was all these different kinds of facets of mm-hmm. things that you could try to connect with to get things you want. So I started seeing that actually happening in my life. I started to see the things that I was putting out there. I was seeing something come back in my life the way that I said it would. So of course that made me confident. That made me mm-hmm. feel like I'm in the right path, because if I wasn't, then it wouldn't just come to me, or this is so real. Fast forward and 2020, I was reading about this thing called the Akashic Records. Mm-hmm. And to preface, I did know about Jesus. You know, I even had an encounter with him when I was 11. But I did not understand it at all. And I didn't really put myself into believing that Jesus is the only way.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, there's other ways. And a lot of things, you know, I was brought into a lot of like alcohol and drugs at a very young age, which also made me think we're connected to the universe. We're connected mm-hmm. to the world. So fast forwarding. I went through some trauma growing up, like most of us, and it was lingering in my life for so long. I was seeing depression coming from it, anxiety come from it, suicide coming from it, addiction come from it, super just very lustful, you know, things that were just, they kept coming up, and I knew the root of it was this trauma. So I wanted to encounter it through this spiritual library. In order to do it, you would have to meditate for so many, however many days you need to get approval from your spirit guide. Mm. And I believed in that. So spirit guides are these wise beings that help guide you into your spiritual life. So connecting with hard times to get over it, with connecting with difficult moments. If you're facing a hard decision and in the present time, you would try to contact your spirit guide to give you some clarity on what to do. So it's very much a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Very much a counterfeit. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to get approval. Like I said, I was very sensitive to the spiritual realm since I was very young. So in 2020, I remember my room on those days that I was meditating, it almost felt like there was something opening, like there was something bigger opening in my house. And I couldn't describe it other than it felt really dark and heavy. Mm-hmm. But I kind of just shrugged it because, one, I'm used to feeling things like this, but not to this extent. But also I'm like, it's probably I'm feeling it even more because I'm trying to go into this Akashic library. And because it's unknown, I'm only going to associate that feeling with fear. Mm-hmm. And this was a lie that I bought for the majority of my life,
that the reason why I associated so many things with spirits or ghosts was fear, was because I didn't really understand it. Because I understood, like, there's no way for me to understand the spiritual realm in every aspect because I'm still in this realm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's just how my mind was.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get access. I'm not getting access. I'm getting frustrated. I have my stones out. I have my lavender and my sage, and I have everything to do cleansing. And I'm just getting frustrated because I'm trying to get to this root of what caused so much turmoil in my personal life, really relationships, with even, you know, career and school. And I really wanted to get to the bottom of it. And little did I know, God was watching every bit of it. And he was just waiting for the opportunity to rip the veils off my eyes,
yeah,
and show me the truth. So, and you can stop me if you have any questions.
No, this you're doing great. Yeah.
So as I am sitting in my room, again, it's been like 3 days, every day I'm trying. I'm walking to my bed one night, and I wasn't like tired, but you know how you go to bed, you're going to go to bed, you're going to lay down, you're going to go on your phone for a little bit, mm-hmm, and then you'll pass out. It was that kind of thing. I wasn't super tired. I was like, it's just 2 a.m. I need to get to bed.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So as I'm walking, I felt this like really this dark entity. Like, I can't describe it other than it felt like this dark chihuahua at my ankles. Like, it just felt like something was yapping at my ankles, but it felt dark. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, what it was, but I remember just like, I need to go to my bed. Like, I just need to go lay down. So I go lay down, or I sit in my bed. And in that moment that I sit down, I get pushed on my bed. I remember feeling this weight on my chest. And before I knew it, I was completely paralyzed and I was freaking out. And I remember looking on the right side of my room and I saw something dark just kind of piling up in my room. Mm-hmm. And I was scared. I was terrified. This fear that came over me, and I couldn't speak, but I could think.
Yeah.
So I started to just think, okay, spirit guide, come help me. Like, I'm just like, I'm trying to talk to my spirit guide. Nothing's happening. Nothing's working. Nothing's hitting it. It's still there. And I go, God, help, please help me. Mm-hmm. And I remember I even said, to the extent of, I know we don't talk. Like, I know that I need help. Like, please help me. And mm-hmm, I can't tell you how long, because time was just kind of like out the window, but
for sure,
it felt like within like 10 seconds, I just hear this massive heartbeat to the left of me, like 9 feet tall, 9 feet wide, like if you can imagine a massive heart right next to you, and how it would sound like when it comes to the beats and the movements. That's what it sounded like. And I remember just shocked in that moment when I first heard it. I was like, what is that? And I'm like, is something going on? What's going on? And I started just listening. I'm like, is that a heart? And I started putting my attention to this heart. And then when I look to my right, I see the dark completely gone and I feel something lift.
Mm.
Passed out. I fell asleep like a baby. I woke up the next morning and I was very stubborn, very stubborn. I was thinking it was my grandma. I thought my grandma came to protect me. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds crazy. You know, some people would say, oh, this girl's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But I can tell you, especially in today, this is something so popular.
Yeah, it's not cuckoo at all, I want to say.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Thank you.
And that's the purpose of this episode.
Amen.
To just call it out. Yeah.
We need to call it out 100%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This needs to be spoken about.
Yeah.
Because I fell for this lie for, over 10 years of my life, where I was really indulging in this unknown in spiritualism, connecting with the universe, taking shrooms so that I can see more of what's going on in this, in the realm.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But what's ridiculous even more is you'll see an outcome of it. It come into your life. Like, I manifested money, I got money. I manifested a camera, I got a camera. It was like these very specific things I'd get, but I am going to tell you why. Like,
right.
These kids and these people think that that is almost like a stamp of this is your belonging. This is who you are. This is your identity. But I can tell you, it's because the devil is a complete counterfeit, and he will do whatever it takes to fool you into thinking that he is an angel of light, that he wants the best for you. And he'll even look like your grandma if he has to. He will picture it in your head and everything. Anyway, so I wake up and I'm like, oh, what's my grandma? So I go online. I'm like, but for some reason, I couldn't shake the heart. So I just kept honestly Googling. I'm like, okay, Googling, what does it mean if you hear a spiritual heartbeat? And everything was bringing me to God. Like, every single thing that I was reading about was bringing me to God. But that wasn't the big aha moment for me. I was reading it, and just there was this moment of, it was God. And the second that I accepted that that was from the Lord Jesus Christ, that that was from God who created the universe, who created the heavens and who created the earth and created each human being. When I believed that, in that second, it's like the Lord showed me a Rolodex of all the ways the devil lied in my life. And it was so intense and it was so fast, but at the same time, it was very detailed. Mm-hmm. And there was no way that my mind could even make up that. There was no way that I could even remember certain things that I didn't remember because I was so young. And the way God just did it, it was like, daughter, it was like, this is the lies you have bought in your life. This isn't who you are. Mm-hmm. It is time for you to get up, shake it off, and start walking the walk that I created you to walk. Like, I created you to do. And in that moment, I remember just bawling and crying. And it was just, I felt his presence. And let me tell you, if you are involved in New Age, mm-hmm. that sense of peace that you get from it, that sense of you feel like you can relate when you encounter the presence of God.
Right.
So much stronger than that. It is so much stronger than what your crystals can do, your spirit guide, any light work or any shadow work that you could do. It is so much stronger than that. I remember just feeling his presence and crying. And before I knew it, I bought a Bible on Amazon. I got in my room and I did not get out for months. I was just indulged in his word. I couldn't stop. There was this in me yearning to just, I need to know more. And I felt like I had to make up time. Like, oh, there was this thing in me. Like, I had to make up time. Mm-hmm. I just wasted so much of my life buying in that I'm worthless. I'm prideful, you know, just going into divination because it was so intense. All the lies that I bought, the identity that I bought.
Yeah.
And so when I started reading his word, I started seeing, I was like, wait a minute. It was like this epiphany. Wait a minute. I knew that spiritual realm was real. I know that it is. I know that's real because all these years, I mean, there's no doubt about it. The things I've seen, encountered, there's no way. So what does this mean?
Right.
And I started reading and there was these verses about, you know, where is it? You know, Ephesians 6:11-12, it's like, put on the whole armor of God mm-hmm. that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And when I read that, it was like, okay, God, this is real. There's a war
yes, going on. Yes.
There is such a war. And I was on the other fence of it. I was indulging in this darkness. I would get scared. I mean, it was just insane, the things that I was able to see from that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to the Lord, it was like, we're not going to lose. There's no losing here.
You're on the winning side.
You're on the winning side. And yeah. I started to get attacked mm-hmm. really strongly after my first month. After my first month, I started learning about spiritual warfare.
Right.
And I started reading about Jesus, about him doing deliverance and casting out demons, and him saying that you take authority over scorpions and snakes and you could trample over them. And the devil has no foothold. Don't allow him to have a foothold in your life. And as I was reading that and just learning, I discovered a woman named Serene, and she lives in Taiwan. And I got connected with her ministry online. It was very small. It was just a group chat, just like five of us. And we would talk every night. And one night we're in a meeting and I just got baptized with the Holy Ghost. I just got baptized speaking in tongues.
I didn't even know this.
Mm-hmm. It was just incredible. And it was so funny because I got baptized. And then 2 seconds later, Serene goes, Kelly, I think you just got baptized with the Holy Ghost. My mic wasn't on. We were in the middle of worship. So like you couldn't tell if I was speaking.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah.
And she was just like, I think you just got baptized. And I'm like crying. I'm like, yeah. And I couldn't even talk. I was just like, oh yeah. But after that, spiritual warfare was so real and intense for me. I'd have attacks every night. I'd have to be up every night. I'd have to go and plead the blood over my family mm-hmm. because the spirit of witchcraft really was like, again, my family was very deep in that for generations yeah. and generations. And so when I was coming against that and the blood of Jesus breaking that.
Right.
Really yes. intense. So with that being said, that brought me into what is known as deliverance. And mm-hmm. brought me to know about that a little bit more and really diving into that ministry with my mother. And but this is the really cool thing too, is when I got saved, my mom was a Christian, but she was like at her ends. She mm-hmm. was just exhausted. She loved the Lord, but she didn't really understand the spiritual side of it. She didn't really understand it. But she knew that the gifts of the Spirit is real. But at her church, they taught that it was only for certain people.
Mm.
And my mom, when she saw what happened to me, she realized, oh no, this is for all of us.
God is not a respecter of persons. What he'll do for one, he'll do for anyone.
For anyone.
Everyone, yeah.
100%. He doesn't just pick and choose. It's if you believe, you have it, sister.
It's yours. Yeah.
yeah.
He's a gracious God. He's a giving God.
He is. And so my mom, this fire just started to pour out of her and she was like, I want to get baptized.
Oh my gosh.
She was like, I want to get baptized. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. And I got to see that for her. I got to help her and me, Serene, and I will share this too. It was me, Serene. This is all on video. This is on Zoom.
Zoom. Mm-hmm.
Zoom meeting. It was me, Serene from Taiwan, a boy from Philippine, another kid from in a Muslim country.
Oh, Middle East. Okay.
Middle East. Yes. Mm-hmm. He was a 12-year-old boy.
Wow.
And as we're sitting there and we're praying, this 12-year-old boy, this 18-year-old boy in the Philippines, I think she was 23, Serene mm-hmm. in Taiwan, all of them was just getting insight from the Holy Spirit about my mom. And the little boy, 12 years old, he was getting prophecy and he was being shown something that was given to my mom that she has tucked away for years. And he said, there's something to that. There's something tied. And my cat.
No, you're fine.
and this ring she actually got from this person, and this ring might have had ties to some sort of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And this little boy, 12 years old,
tweeted
it to my mom. And he walked my mom into just letting go and being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I got to witness that. And that was incredible because that demolished the belief that it's only for adults.
I was just going to say that right there broke so many lies. Mm-hmm. And gosh, not even, I guess, standards, or I don't know if that's the right word, but just, again, he's no respecter of persons. He'll use anybody. Doesn't matter the age. He doesn't, God doesn't see us as we see us. To us, we're like, oh, he's maybe not mature in his faith yet. He's only 12 years old. But it's like, God's like, I can use that. If you have a heart for me and you're like, and you're willing, I can use you and I will use you. Yeah. That is so cool.
It was so cool. And so getting to see my mom get baptized, it was amazing. And then I got to see God move in my family in a way it was just incredible. My mom got, baptized on fire for God. My brother, he believed, but he was very lukewarm. He was like, I'm going to do my own thing, though. Yeah. He struggled with some things like a lot of adults do. And I started to see him actually grow an interest to know God. And then I got saved in 2020, and I would say it was in 2021. By the end of 2021, he gave his life to Jesus, and he's on fire for God. And he got married in October.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he got married in October, and his wife is incredible. They were actually dating in the time that my brother was able to got on fire. Mm-hmm. And she got on fire.
Yeah.
And now my dad, he also started to really get to know about Jesus and actually listen to the word and seek the word and seek the Lord. And so I got to see how the devil tried to separate my family.
That's right.
And then I got to see how God restored my family.
God has been mending it. And that's such the beautiful thing of it is it's all in God's timing.
Yes.
He is such a patient God. And he knew that there would be a day that you would come to him.
Yes.
And he's been waiting with open arms. And that goes to anybody listening. There's literally never a time that you'll be too far gone. Wow. Even if you've done things that aren't that are ungodly, but, and it could be intentionally or not intentionally. And there's been some things I've done that I didn't know were ungodly. And that's why I'm so glad we're talking about this today, because, and like you have briefly shared in the beginning of this episode, is the world will tell us that these things are normal. They have normalized it. They have really just, gosh, I'm blanking on the word, but where they make us desensitized. Yeah. To these things where we actually should be like, oh, no, this is not something that I'm comfortable with. This actually doesn't make any sense. But instead, they're trying to make it just so in front of us that we're used to it, that we do not question it. And so for example, and I'll do a whole episode on this because this is such a deeper story, but just to go with what you're saying about deliverance, I remember when I had gotten delivered, this was last March, so a year ago. And just about a year ago, and they had delivered me from witchcraft. And I was shocked because I said, but I've never done that. And they started asking questions of like, well, it doesn't always mean that you yourself have done it. It's if it was involved in your family, if those around you have done it. And also, again, going back to certain little things I didn't know were New Age, that I was not even aware that I was participating in. By objects that I had, and because that's the thing, spirits live, they need a place to live. Yeah. So if you have objects in your home that are, some of them are symbols, some of them are acts that you can do, and they will make their homes there. And again, that's a whole other conversation. But so anyway, I was unknowingly participating in those things. And thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. And it's such a delight to hear that you have been set free from those things. And that's what God wants. And I've been set free from those things. And that's just, when I really dive into it, like it still brings me to tears today, because I have seen God's grace and mercy and deep love for myself. And you have too. And from what we've heard from your story, it's like, again, we're never too far gone from God. Yeah. And even when we're ashamed of ourselves, like literally just the other day, I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry that I had done those things without knowing. Mm-hmm. And it was a sincere sorry, not of condemnation. Why can I not talk today? Not of being condemned. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
But I just had like a little heartfelt moment with him. And I just said, I know you. And I said, thank you for forgiving me instantly. But like, it just hurts my heart. And that's really the heart of the Father. It hurts his heart. Yeah. It's not that he's judgmental. It's not that he's going to give us a spanking. It's like, it hurts his heart because he has so much more for us. And yeah. He knows that we just don't know sometimes. And that's where his forgiveness is just so beautiful.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you some questions. And one of them being is, when you were into those things before having your godly encounter, did you ever think of him? Did he ever cross your mind? Or was it just like you were so engulfed with these other things that it just was kind of like out of sight, out of mind sort of thing?
Definitely out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Definitely a sense of control over my life. That was a big thing for me, especially when you've gone through, you know, just trauma, whatever happens, yes. You know, just I was really involved in alcohol and drugs at the age of 12. And that kind of just was my identity. So, yeah. Of course, God wasn't really in the mix of it. My mother would bring me to church, but I really didn't care. Mm-hmm. I just didn't really care for it. It was something that I remember one time my mom had me get prayed over. Mm-hmm. I remember the lady was praying in tongues and I thought it was so weird. But this feeling that it was like it was like electric over my head. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think anything of it. I thought, you know, well, she's honing in some energy, but they think it's God. Mm-hmm. Really just honing in with the universe and mm-hmm. all the lies that I bought.
Yeah. And, you know, I do want to touch on that because I think, and this goes back to God's patience, is he knows that there's a time when we're ready and when we're not. And mm-hmm. because I think back in my life when people had essentially just to put it blatantly, they tried to warn me and say, mm-hmm. you know, that's probably not the path you should be going down, or, you know, maybe you shouldn't have these items. They had said these comments and I look back now, I just wasn't ready to receive it.
Yeah.
And so it's just also being patient and understanding with yourself because like I said, it's kind of frustrating when I look back and I'm like, dang, like, why did I fall for that? Why did I believe those lies? But it's still just forgiving ourselves. Like, we just didn't know. Yeah. And that just like that deception was there. But thankfully now those veils have been lifted and that now we know what we know.
Yeah.
And now we get to preach about it and share our testimonies. But yeah, so – and I do want to encourage somebody listening. Let's say they just got out of New Age themselves. Let's say they have had the revelations similar to what we have talked about today. And maybe they're just they're still bumping around in the world trying to figure it out. Like, okay, what is this God thing? What is this faith walk like? What's some guidance and advice that you can give for them? Like maybe they, like you said, you went to Amazon and just got a Bible. Maybe you got a devotional. Maybe you're attending church. Like, maybe they've taken that initial step, but they're like, okay, well, what do I do now? Like, let's say they have a Bible. What do I do? How do I read this? How do I understand it? What would you tell them?
That's so good. So I would tell them to find a church. I know it sounds, you probably be told all the time, but it's so important to find someone that can keep you accountable and be a mentor of some type to you. Someone that has a sound mind. Mm-hmm. But most important, when you read the word, take it bit by bit. You don't have to understand everything at once. Don't get overwhelmed, but take it bit by bit, digest every word of it. And remember, those words have been ingrained in your DNA.
Yeah.
Those words is a word of life. And it's actually the same words that created you. The same author was the same author that created you. So understand there's a connection there. And the wonder of God, I think, just get into that. Ask God the hard questions. Don't be scared. Don't be scared to really get into that. And really ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Mm-hmm. Ask him to keep you on the right path and keep your mind clear from the things of this world. And
And if anyone approaches you and tries to tell you that, well, there's other ways to God, there is only one creator, and there wasn't multiple, it was one. And if you read the word, find out the meaning of your life. And the way you can is reading John, reading Genesis, read Matthew, and I love Hebrew. So definitely get into it. Don't be scared. Get into it. That's my biggest advice that I could give, is just really dive into it. Don't be scared. Ask for help. Ask questions. You're not a fool and you're not stupid. Even as silly as, what is the meaning of the blood?
Definitely. That's huge.
It seems silly to some people, but it's not. It's actually a beautiful question to ask. So get
into it. I'm so glad you said that, because and I have shared in other episodes, is like, I grew up Christian my whole life. Mm-hmm. And even then, because there's a difference of growing up Christian versus having your own relationship with the Lord. And I would say just until a few years ago, I really, really genuinely understood what the blood of Christ meant and the power mm-hmm. that it carries. So you're right. It's not a stupid question at all.
Yeah.
And yeah. So if there's, I do want to share something that, mm-hmm. Well, actually, before I share this other part, do you want to simply just give a brief overview of what the blood represents and the merit that it carries, the power?
Yeah. So the blood of Jesus, it does represent sacrifice that was made in atonement of our sins. We see in the Old Testament what they would do for the atonement of sins. They would grab a sheep. And they would bring it at the altar and they would kill it. And they would, by the blood of the sheep, it would be atonement for their sins. And then they would come back again if they sin again. And it was just this ongoing cycle. Yeah. And the sheep always had to be blemish free. It had to be a perfect sheep that they would bring, an unspotted sheep. Jesus, when he was born pure. He was perfect in every way. He was pure and he didn't do any sins. There was no sins that he committed. So he was a perfect sheep, an unspotted sheep. There was no blemish in him. And when I say blemish, I mean, there was no sin. There was no dirt. Mm-hmm. You couldn't dig up and say dirt on him. The only thing that anybody had anything against him was the Pharisees. Because he went against the religious traditions they held for so many years. But Jesus, when he lived his life and he did 3.5 years of ministry, and he got baptized, and when he started doing the miracles, signs, and wonders, he actually went to people and said, "You are forgiven for your sins." Before he even went on the cross, he was already forgiving sins. And he could do that because he is the Son of God. He was perfect and blemished free, the perfect sheep, mm-hmm. meaning he was able to walk in a manner with power and dominion and authority. Even the scribes and the Pharisees could see that he talked in authority. And that was a big thing because they didn't just say that to anybody. Mm-hmm. And so when he went on the cross and when he died for us, he represented the sheep that thousands of years we brought to the altar for the atonement of our sins, so that we can have a communion with the Lord. You couldn't even really talk to God without getting your sins forgiven by bringing the sheep to the altar at the tabernacles. So when Jesus went on the cross, he was the ultimate sacrifice because he fulfilled all the prophecies that was foretold about God coming to earth and fulfilling that to once and for all give humanity the freedom to walk clean. Because before, we weren't walking clean. We didn't have the understanding of communion with the Lord. If you remember in the Old Testament, only certain men actually had communion with God. And even then, it was very strong. They could even die in his presence because they were unclean. No matter who they were, they couldn't be in
all of his presence without it severely causing some problems. Like Moses, you know, he fell and he was just, anyways, I don't want to get too, I don't want to mix that up, but his blood is the ultimate sacrifice. Yeah. And what that means is that it means that from humanity, from the beginning of humanity, when we were born, when humans were created, when Adam and Eve ate that fruit from the tree and the devil lied to them, that allowed sin to enter in because we were perfect before. We were perfect. Mm-hmm. We were made so perfect. We were so innocent. We didn't know what murder was. We didn't know what just evil. We didn't know what evil was. We only meant know good and pure and perfect. That's all we knew. Mm-hmm. Then we sinned. We disobeyed God. That allowed sin to come in. From generations, we tried to fix that by bringing sheep to slaughter. And then many, many years later, Jesus was born, just like how it said in the prophecy of being born from a virgin. Mm-hmm. And he went on to do his ministry and show people what it means to walk with the Lord and to have communion with him and talk to him and pray to him, what it meant. Then when he went on the cross, his blood is what allows us to be covered in truth. Now we can be pure. Now we can walk with God. Now we can have communion with him. And now we can have a relationship, not exactly the way Adam and Eve did before mm-hmm. the fall, but we can have a right standing with him and we can actually be in his presence a lot better and quicker than back then. I hope I explained that well.
I think it was amazing. It was very yeah. powerful. Thank you for going in depth on that. And I do want to say, if you want to write these down for you, for those listening, I shared these at a small group just about a couple months ago. And these are things that I say every day. And this is the power and the authority that we get to have through Christ. And so so we know, and scripture tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so that's why it's so important. Sorry, my cat is just all up in my face right now. So there you go, Coco. Get nice and comfy. Excuse me. So again, if you want to write these down, feel free to. They're really powerful to say, just to declare over yourself. So something that I say is, Father, also again, he said context is important. So the Lord's holy angels are here. And the thing is, they're waiting for us to call through Christ, not to them, but to Christ, to ask for them to move on our behalf. And so one of the things I say is, Father, I ask that your holy, mighty, warring angels stand guard around me, around my home, around my vehicle, and around my loved ones, and everywhere that I go. So that's really important, because like I said, and the Lord gave me a visual of this. I see it's like these angels are just kind of like being held back until I ask the Father for them to be released. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing I say. And another thing is I say, plead Jesus Christ, firewall protection all around me. And I bind every evil spirit, devil, or demon from coming near me. I plead Jesus Christ's bloodline around me, and I bind every evil spirit from crossing that bloodline. So that right there is declaring his blood. And again, like you just so wonderfully explained the power of his blood. So it's just us using our tongue to confess what he's already done and what his word says. Those are promises from him. They are biblical promises, but them being in the book is powerful, but we have to also activate it through our words. Yes. And so saying these things out loud activates that power. And yeah, so those are a few things that I like to say each day. And it just makes me feel like, it just makes me feel safe. And like, okay, like I know that I'm protected by him. And so it's just been, that's been really sweet. And mm-hmm. Also, there's something else I want to share. Oh my gosh. What was I going to say? Okay. So in my mind, I just want to be sure I'm covering everything. See, this is why I like to have an outline. Just so I know.
But it's all good. The Lord is speaking right now. And something that my mom actually got this really cool idea. So she ordered these clear markers. And so we wrote on our walls. So she got for her house, I got for my apartment. And I just wrote scripture all on my walls. And you can't see it because they're clear, but they're there. And so I thought of that earlier because you had mentioned Ephesians and talking about the armor of God. So I wrote that scripture down. And I wrote Proverbs. I did Psalm 91 and I did Psalm 23 and Psalm 33. And then I have another wall where I put 1 Corinthians, gosh, I think it's 14, talking about love is patient, love is kind. And so it's just filling your home with God's love and warmth. And just his word is so powerful. And so to just surround yourself with that. And of course, we know the power of prayer and just all those things. And yeah, so I'm just trying. I don't really think I have much more to share right now. I'm really trying to think. I don't want to press anything. I know this has been, I don't want to overwhelm those listening because maybe they are new to this, you know?
Yeah.
And there is always so much to share. But I'm so grateful to hear your story and to hear all that you have shared today. And if there's anything else that you want to continue sharing, please go ahead. If there's anything coming to your heart.
Yeah, I will say this is my first time being in a podcast. This is super exciting and, trying to say and articulate everything rightly. So forgive me, but.
Oh my gosh, you're doing great.
but I do want to say, no matter what, go back to the word. No matter Amen. What any of us say, go to the yeah. word and make sure it lines up. Like what she said with the word, with writing the word on your walls and the angels around you, it's very biblical.
Yeah.
The word is a true foundation. So when you surround yourself with the word, it's true, it's powerful, and it's alive. It's not just dead words.
That's right.
It's ongoing for eternity. But I did write some things down on just to help people to, if you are new to God and you are coming from New Age background and you're trying to understand why is it that New Age is bad? Why is it crystals are bad? Why are me manifesting? Why is this not right? Why can't God, why isn't God approving that? Or how isn't God in that? And I want to kind of just quickly go over some scriptures just to kind of help you see that is no longer who you are. And those things aren't true. And I mean it in the most loving way. And I mean it to say it, being there, I wish someone just grabbed a hold of me and said,
yes, me too.
Do you know that this word here is true? And this comes against that. And so let's start up with, why is witchcraft bad? Like why is it? And I will bring it just 2 points is one, you're trying to control a destiny that may not be for you.
That's so powerful.
Yeah. And two, you're using a lot of rebellion and manipulation to get what you want, which already your heart is not even in a very pure place to begin with. If when you are going into witchcraft, manifesting, into getting crystals and tarot, there is this need and want that you have deep inside to know where you're going, who you are, and what to do. And all of that is not, those things aren't going to bring a real, true answer. They're going to bring you false and counterfeit. I can promise you this, honey, if you can read tarot and you can interpret and you're sensitive to the spirit, God's probably calling you to be a prophet.
Amen.
Probably calling you to be a seer. He actually has a gift of discernment over your life. But the enemy is taking that and twisting it and bringing you into tarot, trying to talk to your dead family member, trying to get what you want and to have sex with whoever you want because there is a need for identity and control that you have inside of you. So when we see the devil's a counterfeit, you see 2 Corinthians 11:14, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So what that means is that manifesting may feel right in that moment because you're like, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just asking for nice things. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the devil doesn't care if you're wanting nice things. He wants a way in. Like we were talking earlier, he gets attached to acts. There's acts that you can do in your life that brings a doorway of allowing entry for things to come in. And then you're wondering why your marriage is falling apart, why your mother and you can't get along. Why is there death in every corner you look at? And I can tell you the root of that is always going to be rebellion against God. And it's going to be allowing an entryway for the enemy to reach chaos into your life. Mm-hmm. Because God, he has, I will tell you what he has for you. And that is he says that trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. He only has good intentions for you. And with that being said, you don't need to manifest this.
Right.
Bro, you don't need crystals. You don't need that to bring forth a good standing, a good path, good career. You don't. If you follow Jesus and you let him lead you, he's going to bring you into a fulfillment that you never thought you would have in your life. Another thing, and just in case those who are just really saying, well, there's nothing wrong with yoga or nothing wrong
with touch on that. Yes.
Let's talk about 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. So Saul, if we know the story of Saul and David, Saul was the king and he actually, he had faith in the Lord. He loved the Lord, but he broke the Lord. You know how he broke his faith in the Lord was when he did not keep the commandment of keeping away from divination. He consulted a medium seeking guidance. He didn't seek guidance from the Lord, which God was very upset with because that is meaning you are going to seek guidance for something that's only going to bring destruction. And as we know, the devil, all he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
John 10:10, you can read about that. So with that being said, seeking guidance from anything other than the Lord is not going to bring, it's not going to bring any true peace. So yoga, it makes you sit and meditate on the world, makes you meditate in your own, you try to clear your mind from everything and you try to focus your energy into the ground, right?
And the poses.
And the poses, 100%. The poses also, you're mimicking gods of the time, Indian gods. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the name specifically, but I have a close friend of mine. She was going to be a yoga instructor. This is before she became Christian.
Yeah.
And in order for you to become a yoga instructor, you have to learn about these gods.
Oh my God.
You have to learn about every single one of them and what they mean to each pose. It's actually a form of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Them. So yeah. When you do those poses, yeah. You're actually mimicking those gods.
Right.
So again, you're seeking guidance for solace and peace in a different manner than you should. So I hope that made sense also.
Yes. Girl, this is so good. Look at you all prepared.
I'm trying. I had
no, it's so good.
And
I knew I didn't need an outline. I'm like, this is going to go or it's going to go. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
You're good. And I also want to bring up this. Devil's a liar.
Yeah.
So when I was into New Age, again, there was this thing of my identity belongs to control. So I would have this thing of, I was actually very promiscuous. I was someone who didn't really care about my self-worth. Like my self-worth wasn't about maintaining modesty. My self-worth was, I'm going to do what I want, however I want. I'm queen bee. Mm-hmm. And I might be over-sexualized, but that's it. Like you just have to deal with it. And actually, we see this a lot today with a lot of women almost just flaunting their sex life, flaunting that they're very sexual and doing things very sexual. And one of the reasons why I did that was because there was a thing of control and pride that I had, that my identity came from attention from others. So if people gave me attention, I was like, yes, 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 yes. But that's because the devil lied to me and said to me, your worth is only in the eyes of those who see you. And your worth is only in the way that you look good. If you look good and you look sexy, you can do whatever you want, however you want, and you'll get it. John 8:44, though, says this. When the devil lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and he's the father of lies. It mm-hmm. even says that there is no truth in him, none whatsoever. So whenever you have feelings that go against the will of God, which is pride, lustful, you know, let's say control, there is so many other aspects. It goes against the word of God. You know, that's from the devil. You know, it's not true. And so going back at it, when you are someone who's even wanting to get into OnlyFans, you feel like there's mm-hmm. something wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, that's not what God wants for you.
Yes.
I can tell you right now, that's not going to bring you any self-worth. You might make a heck of a lot of money from it, but your image, your heart in that mm-hmm. is in the end, you're a girl who wants attention and or a guy. And it comes from a broken place. It comes from a place of, I want control. And I say that with love. I've been there. Yeah. I did a lot of things for a lot of money. I'm not proud of it. Mm-hmm. God helped me with that when he showed me that the devil's a liar and that my identity is not in it. Let's see if there's anything else, just to bring some good about the Lord, like because how he renews and he reforms. If you did mess up in your life, if you were into New Age, if you are right now, I just encourage you just to repent of it and ask the Lord, like it says in Isaiah 43, that the former things, the things that are old, let me not consider it, God. Let me pay attention to what you have for me, that you're springing forth. Let you make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert in my life. Ask God to just redeem you. And he has redeemed you, but ask him to just renew you in his spirit. And you think that your spirit guide's cool, wait till you meet the Holy Spirit. He's a lot.
Amen.
And so, that's really all I kind of want to touch on was those who are into New Age. I just encourage you just to get to know the Holy Spirit. Just get to know him. Just simple. It's not real. It's not control. It's not religious. It's not prideful. It's actually right. Super easy, and you don't need a pastor to guide you in that. However, I do recommend you finding someone mm-hmm. to get accountability. Mm-hmm. But okay. You've got no one around you. Get in the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and He will. I promise you, He'll do it.
That was perfect. Thank you so much. And let's go ahead and close it in prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every person listening. God, I just pray right now that in each room, in every ear, in every place that this sound is just being resounding in, I just pray that your spirit manifest yourself, Lord, in that room, in that place, in their mind, in their workplace, wherever they're at, God. I just pray that your presence be known. I pray that you just engulf them in your love. Let them know the truth, Lord. Reveal to them who they are and why they were created. That they were created to break strongholds. They were created to bring light in dark places. They were created to really bring life to dead things. So I pray, Father, that they wake up in any kind of sleep they might be in. Wake us up as well, God, in any sleep that we may be in. And most importantly, God, bless each one of us, surround us with your warring angels, and allow your word to just continue to be engrafted in us in a manner that we'll never forget. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I just pray complete healing for everyone listening, and from religious hurt, from church hurt. God, I just pray that you reach down in their heart and you show them who you are, Father. Let them just feel a touch of your spirit and see that you are a Father that redeems, you are a Father that rebuilds, and you are a Father that loves and has full of grace, and that you're not like their parents. In fact, you are much, much more loving and graceful than anyone they could ever imagine, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. That concludes today's episode on GGTL. I hope you learned just as much as I did through today's conversation. And if there are any topics you want covered for the season of life that you may be in, please feel free to send me a message and we'll cover that. Be sure to subscribe to the show so that way you are up to date with all of our conversations, and I'll talk to you in the next one. Take care.